problem is that the president has huge peace efforts, which are just splendid and very positive for the European continent and all the peoples of the of Europe. But at the same time, we are not unified because Brussels and the Europeans have a different approach to the war. So the only pro-peace government is the United States government and the small Hungary in Europe anyway. All the other governments prefer to continue the war because many of them think that Ukraine can win on the front line, which is a misunderstanding of the situation. So it's a complicated issue. We will discuss it. It requests not just 2 minutes to respond to your question, but rather than our lecture. Sorry, not to continue more.
To both of you.
So you would say that Ukraine cannot win that war?
You know, miracle can happen.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not just buying something. We're solving life and death problems for our warfighters. We're not building for peacetime. We are pivoting the Pentagon and our industrial base to a wartime footing. Building for victory, should our adversaries FAFO.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, November the 8th, coming to you from Larnaca, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the Orban-Trump meeting, which took place yesterday. And Orban traveled to the United States. He met with Trump at the White House. And Orban's goal was to secure exemptions from Trump's Russian oil sanctions. And he got it. He achieved his goal, at least that's how it looks. He announced that that Hungary is now exempt from the big Russian oil sanctions, and also exempt from sanctions which would have affected the PAX-2 nuclear power plant that is being built with Russia. And some reports claim that these exemptions are going to last for a year. Other reports are not putting a timeline on these exemptions. But Orban, he got what he wanted. He got what he needed. And he even said in a statement that this means that Hungary will have the lowest energy prices in the EU. That's what he said. Hungary will maintain the lowest energy prices in the European Union. He called the exemptions a full exemption is what he said. Hungary secures a full exemption. Trump, in his statement, said that he's granting the exemption because of Hungary's unique geography, its situation being landlocked, and it does not have access to any ports. He said that these exemptions are not going to be given to other countries which have ports, but in Hungary's situation, because they need the oil from the Russian pipeline, the Druzhba, that he is going to allow them to get the oil from the pipeline. He also called Orban a great friend, and then they also talked about a Budapest summit, right? Another attempt at having talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Budapest. Trump said that if there is going to be a summit, if and when there is going to be a summit, he would like it to be in Budapest. Orban said that there are only one or two issues that need to be settled between Moscow and Washington, and then a summit can take place. So that is what Orban said. That is what Trump said. Russia has not commented yet on giving the summit in Budapest another another go. It was, after all, Trump that walked the whole thing back after Russia had agreed. So, Romania and Bulgaria, they are now scrambling to get exemptions as well from these sanctions. Bulgaria has the Luke Oil, the big Luke Oil refinery, as does Romania, actually. Romania also has a refinery in cooperation with Russia. And they are now thinking about approaching the Trump administration to ask for exemptions. And they're also talking about putting these assets under state management for the time being, seizing these Russian refinery sanctioned assets and putting them under the management of the government until things can be sorted out. Something tells me that that Trump is not going to grant Bulgaria and Romania an exemption. I don't know. That's just my hunch. He's going to say no. But we'll see. They're going to approach the Trump White House. They're going to ask for the exemption, and we'll see if Trump gives it. I believe he has given an exemption to Germany, at least for 6 months, 6 months to a year. I believe he has given an exemption to BlackRock Mertz, who also has Russian-connected refineries. From Bloomberg, Trump, if it happens, I'd like to keep the Putin meeting in Budapest. I wonder if Putin would agree to a meeting in Budapest. I wonder if Trump threw it out there, if Orban threw it out there, let's have a meeting in Budapest. I wonder if Putin would agree. He would get a lot of heat if he would agree to a meeting in Budapest after everything that happened. There are rumors, and these are rumors, started by the Moscow Times, which is not located in Moscow and really has nothing to do with Moscow. I believe the Moscow Times is located in the Netherlands, if I'm not mistaken. But they are putting out rumors that Lavrov is on the way out. That is what they're saying, because Lavrov was not in attendance at the big Security Council meeting where they discussed nuclear testing. Lavrov was absent from that meeting. And also, he is also not going to be heading up the delegation to go to South Africa for the G20. And they make the argument that usually at these international events and these summits, it's Lavrov that is usually leading the delegation. And so the Moscow Times is putting out a rumor that that Lavrov is on the way out, and that Putin is not very happy with Lavrov, because they claim that Putin is angry because Lavrov was not able to secure the Budapest summit between the United States and Russia. Remember, it was Lavrov who spoke with Rubio, and then Rubio, the story goes that after the phone call, Rubio went to Trump and said, forget about it, call off the summit. Russia's not changing its root causes position, and then Trump called off the Budapest summit. Once again, these are rumors from the Moscow Times, which is extremely anti-Kremlin, anti-Putin, located in the Netherlands. Moscow Times, located in the Netherlands. And this would not be the first time that they would be putting out propaganda trying to damage Russia, Putin, and the Kremlin. But Politico has an article with the title, Kremlin Denies Growing Rumors of Sergei Lavrov's Ouster. Completely untrue, insists Putin's spokesperson, as chatter builds about the veteran foreign minister. A top ally of Putin said Friday that media reports about Foreign Minister Lavrov falling out of favor are completely untrue. A top ally, Peskov, a top ally of Putin, Peskov, his spokesperson. Yeah, man, Peskov said it's completely untrue. The fact that that Peskov denied these rumors so quickly leads me to believe that these rumors are fake news. But the article from Politico goes on to say the Moscow Times, an independent outlet based in the Netherlands, reported Thursday that Putin has sidelined Lavrov and the minister had disappeared from the public eye after the U.S. abruptly canceled a proposed Budapest summit with Russia. Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt that this Moscow Times, the independent Moscow Times reporting is true. I highly, highly doubt it. So the European Union, they're putting a lot of pressure on Belgium to green light the handing over of 140 billion euros in Russian cash to the Green Goblin. Belgium is standing in the way of this money going to the Zelensky regime, according to the media and the European Union. This coming week is going to put a lot of pressure on Belgium to hand over the money to the Zelensky regime. If Zelensky does not get the money by April 2026, then they are out of cash. No more money. No more money to continue the conflict. And the European Union, they are desperate to continue the conflict, right? Even if it means destroying the European Union and its reputation, its trustworthiness, if it even has that anymore, with investors, with foreign investors who keep their money in the European Union. They don't care. They don't care. Their number one priority is to take these assets and hand them over to Project Ukraine. The EU claims it's a loan, a reparations loan, and Russia will have an IOU, and that Belgium is covered. This is what the reports are saying, that the European Union is telling Belgium, do not worry about it. Legally, you are A-okay, man. Trust us. Where have you heard that before? Huh? In your life, someone telling you, trust me, man, trust me. Nothing bad is going to happen. Everyone watching from Belgium, trust Ursula. Nothing bad's going to happen. The lawyers in Brussels, they've looked this whole thing over, and they're telling you, Belgium, just give over the money. Don't worry about Euroclear. Don't worry about your country, your country's economy. Don't worry about it. Everything will be okay. But when Belgium is asking for other members of the EU to join in the risk, to take on the risk of handing over these assets to Zelensky, the other EU members are saying, nah, we don't really want to take on the risk. You can have all the risk, Belgium, but trust us, everything is going to be okay. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Belgium next week to get those assets to the Green Goblin. The reason that the EU is panicking is because if Belgium backs down and agrees for this money to go to the Zelensky regime, then it's going to have to go to the EU Parliament and they're going to have to approve it. And that could take a couple of months and it's going to be very tight, a very tight timeline to get the money into the coffers of the Green Goblin. And this money, they claim, should last Zelensky another 2 years. 140 billion, they claim, will last Zelensky another 2 years. And they need to get this money sent to Kiev very quickly. So the Russian military, they launched a massive missile strike into Ukraine yesterday, a Kinzhal, I believe the largest Kinzhal missile strike into Ukraine. They targeted energy facilities. They also targeted military facilities, but they also targeted, according to various reports, a chemical factory, a chemical facility, which is critical for Ukraine manufacturing missiles, right? Ukraine's plan to become this big manufacturing hub for missiles, right? Inside Ukraine, they're going to manufacture Sapsun and Flamingos and all kinds of other missiles. And this factory is located in Pavlograd, which is very close to the front lines. It would be very difficult to create another facility further back. Very difficult for Ukraine to do that. It would take a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of investment, which they don't have. And so they've kept this facility in Pavlograd with the plan being that this would be manufacturing the missiles that Ukraine would be using to strike deep into Russia. And the Russian military, according to some sources, they started to dismantle this chemical factory in Pavlograd. Either way, the missile strikes, they were hitting all over, the Kinzhal missiles were hitting all over Ukraine, Sumy, Kiev, Odessa, with little to no Ukraine air defense. So that happened yesterday as well. And an update on Nexperia. The Netherlands, since we talked about the Moscow Times located in the Netherlands, Nexperia, the chip company that the Netherlands seized, it looks like they're going to give the company back to the Chinese. Yep, after Trump's meeting with Xi Jinping in South Korea, where Trump walked back the 50% rule during negotiations with Xi Jinping. It looks like the Netherlands, who seized the Nexperia company located in the Netherlands based on the 50% rule and based on pressure from the United States. Now that that rule is no longer in place, the Netherlands is kind of screwed and they look very, very stupid. And they've pissed off China. And they are now begging China to take back the company. Forgive us, China, for not acting like a sovereign nation with some cojones and doing as the United States told us to do and seizing your company in a matter of 24 hours and getting rid of its executives and its CEO and its board members. And we ask for your forgiveness and please take Nexperia back. Here, have it back. We're sorry, bro. Take Nexperia back. From Bloomberg, Dutch ready to drop control of Nexperia if chip supply resumes. Yeah, the chip supply. When they seized Nexperia, the Netherlands forgot that the manufacturing of the chips was actually taking place in China. So what did China do? They said, okay, well, you've taken over our company in the Netherlands, but the actual product is manufactured in China. So what we're going to do is we are just going to put export controls on the actual product that is manufactured here in China, and that's going to affect Europe's automotive industry and various other supply chains. So take that, Netherlands. You took the company, but you forgot that the actual chips, the actual product, is manufactured in China. Whoops. Whoops. Oh, man. We'll see if China decides to forgive the Netherlands. We will see. So the EU is putting together a Ministry of Truth. This is being reported on by The Guardian. They have seen the documents that Ursula prepared ahead of the 2024 European elections. And the documents are going to now be published on November 12th, outlining the EU's plan to create the Center for Democratic Resilience, which will function as part of a broader Democracy Shield Strategy, as pitched by Ursula von der Pyrat ahead of the 2024 European elections. And this is very much the EU Ministry of Truth, where the European Union will fact-check news and information to make sure that it is accurate according to EU standards and not part of some sort of a Russian or Chinese disinformation campaign. And so you're going to have the Ministry of Truth, or the Center for Democratic Resilience, which is going to be set up by the European Union to go alongside the EU's chat control system, which is being set up, where the European Union is going to monitor all messages on all of the chat services like WhatsApp and Signal, Telegram, etc. And the EU is going to have access to all of the messages being sent on these platforms. And it's all in the name of democracy. Democracy and stopping the spread of Russian and Chinese disinformation, according to the documents that the Guardian has seen, by spreading deceitful narratives, sometimes including the manipulation and falsification of historical facts. They try to erode trust in democratic systems, the Guardian cited the document as saying, though it provided little substantial evidence. That's right. You gotta protect the EU citizens from Russian and Chinese disinformation. Gotta protect them. Gotta create those fact-checking services to protect the EU citizens from fake news, from false stories, from fake history, right? Trust in Ursula. Trust in stunning and brave Kaya Kallas. When Ursula says that Russia's economy is in tatters, believe her. Russia's economy is in tatters. When the European mainstream media talk about the ghost of Kiev, it is fact. It is fact. There is a ghost of Kiev shooting down fighter jets, Russian fighter jets, the ghost of Kiev. That is true. That is a true story. That is not fake news. When the BBC reports on shovels, the Russians using shovels. True. True, not fake news. 19 sanctions packages are working to erode Russia's economy and bring down Putin's war machine. True, when Kaya Kallas says the 19 sanctions packages are biting and they are working. That is true. Washing machine chips, true. Russia meddling in Romania's elections using TikTok, true. True. Absolutely true. Everything that is coming out of Russia or China, false. False, fake news. When Zelensky says that there are 60 Russian soldiers in Kupiansk, that is true. When Russia, the Russian Ministry of Defense, when they say that they are going to capture Kupiansk in the next week or two, that is fake. That is fake news. Fake. Didn't Ursula, in a speech 2-3 years ago, make it out as if Russia, they were the ones that dropped an atomic bomb on Japan? Remember that story? That was like 3 years ago. I'm trying to remember what Ursula said. It was at some event, some WEF event or some globalist event, and Ursula was talking about using nuclear weapons or atomic weapons, and she made it out as if Russia was the only country that had done that. Because in this Center for Democracy, for Democratic Resilience, they're going to also make sure that historical events are accurate. Oh boy, the EU is turning into a freaking nightmare, man. It is really morphing into a freaking nightmare. So in Serbia, they are going to build a Trump hotel. That's how it looks in Belgrade. A law was passed to build a Trump hotel, which Jared Kushner is heading up this proposal, this initiative to build a Trump hotel. And the hotel is going to be built in Belgrade at the site where the, I believe it's the Ministry of Defense, where it was bombed by NATO. I believe that's where they're going to build this Trump hotel. And this site, I've been to this site, I've done a video from this area. It was a reminder, a type of memorial and a type of reminder of what NATO had had done to Serbia and to Belgrade. And now it looks like Jared Kushner is going to get his Trump hotel. Let me tell you something, man. It was better when Jared Kushner was actually part of the Trump administration. It was better. It's worse now because now he's operating in the shadows, right? At least when he was part of the Trump administration, all this stuff had to be announced and reported on. Now he's just kind of operating in the shadows, and we're finding about all these things after the fact. But we are going to most likely get a Trump hotel in Belgrade. Critics objected to the plan to build the $500 million complex, which includes a hotel and apartments, on the grounds of the former Yugoslav army headquarters. The site was left in ruins after NATO's 1999 bombing to end the Kosovo War and has long been regarded as an unofficial memorial as well as landmark of 20th century Yugoslav architecture. Opposition lawmakers lashed out at the government over its decision, with center-left MP Marinika Tepic claiming Belgrade was sacrificing the country's history simply to please Donald Trump. In a place where bombs once fell, you now plan to pour champagne, she said. But Vucic, the president of Serbia, has argued the project is necessary to improve ties with Washington, accusing its critics of wanting to get in the way of better relations with the Trump administration. That's right. In order to have good relations with the Trump administration, it's important to build Trump hotels. Oh, boy. So, Lindsey Graham is lashing out at Ireland. He is threatening Ireland because, according to Reuters, the Irish governing body is going to vote on a call for UEFA to ban Israel. The Football Association and the Irish governing body is putting forth a proposal to ban Israel from UEFA football tournaments. And Lindsey Graham, he posted on X in reference to this Reuters article, "It is my understanding Ireland is about to make a motion to the European body governing soccer to ban Israel from playing in European soccer tournaments." That is soccer for Lindsey Graham. It is football for the rest of the world. And Lindsey Graham goes on to say, if these attacks against Israel, coming from Ireland, according to Lindsey Graham, continue, I will do everything in my power to make those who participate in this effort to marginalize Israel in sports and elsewhere pay a heavy price when it comes to access to the American economy. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Lindsey Graham, foreign policy president of the United States, right? That is his post on X. If Ireland, if the governing body of Ireland, I imagine the football governing body in Ireland, if they put forward this proposal to UEFA, then I am going to make sure that the American economy is closed off to Ireland. Is that the threat from Lindsey Graham? All right, Lindsey Graham, big football fan. That Lindsey Graham, big soccer fan, that Lindsey Graham, right? Soccer football is very important to Lindsey Graham. So let's do some clown worlds and wrap up this video. An update on the Angelina Jolie bodyguard driver story. And the update is that it looks like this bodyguard driver of Angelina Jolie's is going to be sent to the front lines. It looks like he was indeed mobilized, and he will be going to the front lines. He actually reported this himself to TSN. Angelina Jolie's escort driver has indeed been mobilized. He himself reported this in a comment to TSN while already at the training center. So he's already at the training center, and he's going to be sent to the front line. He was supposed to be driving Angelina around, and he was acting as her bodyguard. Angelina Jolie, who entered Ukraine by foot, then needed a driver. I don't know how that works. You enter by foot, and then I guess the driver was waiting for her after she crossed over into Ukraine by foot. But anyway, this driver then passed a checkpoint, and they mobilized him, and the government in Kiev could not get its story straight as to what happened. And there were reports that Angelina Jolie was trying to get in touch with Zelensky and get the driver released. And other reports were claiming that no such thing had happened, and Angelina just entered the military recruitment office so she can use the toilet. I imagine that this would just be a guess. This would just be a wild guess. I imagine that the recruitment office asked of Jolie to pay some money to get the driver released. I don't know. That would just be a guess. But either way, looks like he's going to be sent to the front. So Russia has responded to the EU's visa ban on Russian passport holders, where the multi-entry visa to enter Schengen is now going to be abolished. And the only thing that Russian passport holders will be able to get is a single-entry Schengen visa. And Maria Zakharova, she has replied to this initiative from Kaya Kallas, because this is going to be an initiative from the Foreign Office of the European Union. So yeah, it's originating with Kaya Kallas. Stunning and brave. Maria Zakharova, she said, apparently the European Commission reasoned as follows. Why does Western Europe need solvent tourists when it has illegal migrants and Ukrainian draft dodgers living on benefits? That was her reply to Ria Novosti. A couple of more clown worlds. The UK is going to lift sanctions on Bizarro Zelensky Al-Jilani. This comes after the UN lifted sanctions, and I believe the US lifted sanctions on Al-Jilani, who was the at one point in time the ISIS Al-Qaeda leader, and now he is the president, the unelected president of Syria, and everyone's lifting their bans on Al-Jilani and their sanctions on Al-Jilani. And now the UK is going to lift their sanctions on Al-Jilani. The singer of Limp Bizkit, Fred Durst, he was going to be performing at a concert in Estonia. And Estonia has banned Limp Bizkit from performing in Tallinn. And the reason that they're banning Limp Bizkit is because Fred Durst was married to a Russian girl from Crimea, I believe, married to her for like 4 or 5 years. And he said complimentary things about Russia and Crimea. And he also said something complimentary about Putin. This was like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even more than that, from like 2014 to like 2016 or something like that. But Estonia has not forgotten these comments from Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit, and so they're going to ban him from playing in Tallinn. Estonia does not forget, man. Estonia has a very, very long memory when it comes to complimenting Russia. So Fred Durst, no concert for you. And finally, Sotheby's is going to be auctioning a gold toilet. And they say this gold toilet is going to fetch $10 million in auction. And this is a real gold toilet. It's not a fake gold toilet. From what I understand, it works as well. It's a functioning gold toilet. And I think this is a piece of art, if you want to call it that, from the guy that sold the banana taped on the wall. Remember that piece of art that sold for upwards of $6 million? The banana on the wall. I think this is the same artist. So his gold toilet is looking to get $10 million. Maybe the guy that bought the banana can also buy the toilet, right? So he can eat the banana and then use the toilet, and that'll be a $16 million number two. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. I will end it there. The Duran.locals.com. We're on Telegram. We are on X and on Rumble. Like this video, share this channel, subscribe to this channel, and I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.